know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
I see the girls in the club.
Hey, and hello out there. Welcome to the AWOL radio show. Yes, we are back. It's been a long break, summer vacation kind of sort of like. And so we're back to the studio thing. This is our, I guess you could say, our third season. Hopefully we have a lot of things coming up for you guys. But let's stick to the routine. You already know who this is. This is your illustrious host, Mike Powell. But let's do the roll call as usual because we have the whole gang here, which is not always the case. So to my right. To my right.
Hey, people, it's Ash.
There we go.
It's Lou Valentine.
Carlton, I don't do the dance though.
Yeah, he's the bad guy. Say hello to the bad guy. That's
hello to the little friend.
That's Carlton. He's the Tony Montana of the group.
Say what? Tony Bennett.
Oh, Tony Bennett.
He listens to Tony Bennett, Carlton.
Oh.
Yeah, no. See, here we go with the Fresh Prince references. Man.
Kodak Black actually puts my name in the song. He say I'm polo down like Carlton.
He was always polo down like he was.
Exactly.
Did you also know that Will Smith, those boots, every time he wore boots, there was Doc Martens, always wore Jordans. Steve Urkel always wore Levi's.
Really?
Now, even
this whole outfit was Levi's.
I thought those were some Busta Browns. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, those little bowling shoes. Yeah. Nope. And Cole from Martin, his jackets was always MCM.
Okay.
A little Tommy. Fashion history.
And Tommy, nobody never knew.
So there we go, guys. Tommy, we got a little bit of everything.
Nobody
so
knew this nigga did for work.
Stay
so,
woke.
That's right. Stay up on your entertainment.
Wait, how do you know?
But welcome back, everybody, man. And it's good to be back. And we're hoping for a great season. We got some stuff in store for you guys. We're not going to spoil, but just stay tuned. I think it's going to be a fun new program. But yeah, first of all, let me reach out to the crew over here. How you guys been? How's the summer working? It is indeed a lovely hot summer in New York City, as it always is. What's new?
IRS.
They got you?
Yeah, they got me, man.
IRS.
I paid them ducats out. I'm all clear, but...
That's the realest gang out there right now.
Yeah, I still got to pay that IRS to get them off my back before they put me on my back. They do.
Yeah, see, the IRS is always tricky. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, those guys...
I'll pay them in September.
They do not play, man. They will come after you.
Oh, speaking of, you feel that they shady, my landlord's daughter just got a IRS saying that she owe him money. She took the thing to the IRS preparer, and they had wound up giving her some money. But I truly believe that, yes, the IRS are scamming people just for the simple fact that people are already wary and scared about them messing up their life.
So they'll do whatever just to
avoid everybody doing the tax.
Yeah, so... Make sure y'all stay up on your taxes.
Yeah. Everybody everybody should do their best to do so.
My lesson there.
So.
My mama told me.
What happened?
Not for real. My mom. She was like on me about that.
It's like about 3 months later.
Like taxes.
Uncle Sam will get in that ass. Yeah. That's what she used to tell me.
that public service amount.
They will garnish your checks if they have to.
What?
Stay
up on your taxes.
I know,
it's
right?
July, it's July, bro.
So many people that have now missed their taxes and are going to be facing Uncle Sam very, very, very soon. So we were talking earlier prior to the start of the show, and I know some of you people out there might have listened to this album already, but for those who don't know, which if you don't know, then you're living under a rock, Jay-Z has dropped a new album called 444, which I'm guessing is like a time? I don't know.
It's time. He woke up at 4:44 in the morning and started writing.
Okay, so he drops this album, which to my understanding has already been put at the number one charts in 38 countries. So 38 countries already have it at number one.
That particular song is already going platinum.
And the 444 song itself is going platinum.
Right.
I listened to the album. Now, granted, I did not sit through every song in its entirety. I did not do that. I would not lie to you and say I did, because I did not.
Truthfully, I'm not.
What I did, what I did instead was that I, you know, I like to try to move it forward, listen to about 30, 40 seconds of it, and I figured that within 40 seconds,
if you're not saying nothing,
if I'm not enjoying it, then I'm not going to enjoy the album, or that song, rather. Right. So I did that for every song, and I have to be honest, I don't see what the hoopla is about this album.
Question, when you do that, like, do you keep your feelings about
the artist,
the production,
okay,
separate from the lyrics? You as an artist yourself, like, okay. I would think that you would at least, like, even if you do not like the production, but you do like the lyrics, you listen to it, even if
be
you,
objective
and
about
vice versa.
Yes,
right.
And now you did say to me that the production quality in your particular studio
wasn't the best. When I was listening to it, because Carlton was sitting here when I was checking it out, and he, you know, he was listening to a bit of it as well. I did make a comment that, to me, it sounded like something produced in a less than professional or less than well-equipped studio. Because his vocals sounded like they were dominating over the actual beat. And maybe that's, I mean, maybe that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
But it, for me, it sounded weird. It didn't sound like there was a marriage between the vocals and the beat, which is what I'm used to hearing, you know. And you can hear that type of distinction when you hear certain songs. Some songs, they sound like they're melded together perfectly. Like, you know, they come, you know, it's just like made perfectly. While other songs, the vocal just sounds like it's
at this point
it's not recorded
well. How much money he has, how many albums he has done, that was probably on purpose.
See, that's what I'm thinking, is that maybe that was intentional so that people would listen more to the lyrics than the beat production, you know, than the actual, you know, beat behind
it.
But the lyrics itself didn't work for me either.
Right, me neither. And it actually speaks to what I said to you today about a lot of the more current contemporary artists, that realistically the productions or the producers are the ones who really should get all the credit because there are no lyrics. So maybe he did do that for that purpose. But even still, like, to me, he didn't flow to the beats right. The lyrics weren't all that great. And me personally, at this point in the game, he's, what, 47 years old? He should be talking about something rather positive or thought-provoking rather than what he's known for.
It sounded like the same stuff to me. I'm sorry, Lou.
I think he is like a rapper who has, like, this only child syndrome.
Okay.
Right?
What do you mean?
He talks about his life. He talks about what he went through, what he's doing.
Okay.
Right? So, let's face it, I'm assuming, like, at this point, we like to know what's going on. And it's like, I guess the relationship is changed between the listener and Jay-Z.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not the same type of connection anymore.
But I feel like he's, in the album, he is still keeping it real. He's telling his life.
It is real.
Keeping it real from his perspective.
Point. Exactly. Right. Exactly. So I think that's what it is. I think people feel like it's a more personal album as opposed to him, like, in his previous albums, like, kind of like bragging about what he does or bragging about how he came up and shit like that.
He still does it in this album.
Or, yeah, but I think it's a little less than.
You feel like there was less than that. So, would you agree with the majority of people, you know, who I think, first of all, mostly the young artists, young listeners now, who think that he's woke,
that
he's being conscious, because that's what everybody's saying.
All they have to listen to is, that's all they got.
You feel like that's what they're comparing
it to? Yeah, comparing it to, you got to think about comparing it to that. You got to think about these 90s or 2000 babies who hasn't heard, like, Reasonable Doubt, who really hasn't heard Blueprint 1, you know what I'm saying? Which is, I think, is one of the best albums he had. Reasonable Doubt, Blueprint 1, and, I don't know, maybe
I like the Black American Gangsta album.
Yeah, the Black album is
American Gangsta was nice. That joint was smooth. And I've never been a Jay-Z fan like that, but the American Gangsta album, from start to finish, was smooth to me.
Production-wise.
But even his flow, like, the flow was nice.
Yeah, so, but lyrically, I thought it was like, eh.
So, but so is he conscious then on this album?
No, he's not fucking conscious. No, so no, he's, no, but you know, you know where it's coming from? You know where it's coming from? It's coming from the comparison to the Migos and all that stuff, right? The ignorance that we have going on.
Brother, the mumbling, something relationship.
Yeah, the mumbling network of ignorance. And then it's also coming from the fact that the generation has changed as opposed to those of us who like grew up listening to conscious rap
because that's not available anymore.
You know what the idea of a conscious rap now is?
But you don't think it's as prevalent as much. No, it's not as prevalent because before you used to have Common, you used to have
Most Def.
You had Pharoah Monch.
Yeah, they were putting out music. Even KRS-One was getting played on the radio.
They're not doing that now. They're not promoting themselves no more because they're not putting.
Another thing that also I'll give him that, is that he has been proving himself, or the stuff that he does do for the community is becoming more and more to light. You know what I'm saying? I'm actually, because let's not forget, he fucked up with that whole Barney's situation.
Oh.
He had an opportunity to pull his line or pull his ski mask, right? Or something that even makes us even more, like, it criminalizes us even more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And charge that shit $200 or $300 to look fly, but at the same time a threat. And then at a store that's high end, but arrested two black people because they thought they couldn't afford their stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so he didn't.
And one of them was an actor. That's the crazy shit.
So now, how?
But lately, he's been taking it. Like, he's been putting back into his community. He's been, look what he did with the whole Rikers Island situation. You know, look what he's doing for what he did for Father's Day. Look what he did for when he was.
But what did he do for Rikers Island? He didn't do anything. Okay, he made a comment.
No.
For Father's Day, he paid the bail for fathers who could not pay the bail themselves. Yeah.
He just made a public statement that Rikers Island, I already said it, should be shut down.
Yeah.
All because he said it doesn't mean it happens.
No, I know that, but
so he didn't do anything. He just made a statement.
Plan to shut down Rikers Island.
But there was already a plan before he made that comment.
I know that. But I'm pretty sure, like, his documentary on Khalif Browder
may have pushed things a little bit faster. Let me put it to you.
And on top of that, that was a story that was, you know, that was a story that was going to get pushed under the rug.
Let me put it to you, that was a story that was going to get pushed under the rug. Jay-Z said it himself. He's a businessman.
Yes.
Not just a businessman. Yeah. So understand this. Yeah. Conscious rap at this point.
It's a business right now.
Profitable.
Yeah.
You got Kendrick Lamar, you got J. Cole, you got Chance the Rapper, like you said. Yeah. So it's profitable.
Oh, no, Cameron is right. He's riding away by nature. He's the Jagger Swagger.
Swagger Jagger.
There we go. That's
what they call it. Jagger Swagger.
Swagging, whatever the fuck it is. He's doing it. He's like stealing shit.
But we all knew that.
But I'm saying, but for somebody who is completely overrated. That would be taken in too far. He is slightly overrated. Slightly overrated.
Jay-Z, you say?
He's majorly overrated.
I can say he's overrated.
Yeah. Had Pac and Biggie wouldn't have been.
I know.
People need to remember that, man. Exactly. Had Pac and Big still been alive, Jay-Z would have been faded out a long time ago. He would have been faded out because Nas was still burning. So there would have been no room for him. No, it would have been Pac, Biggie, and Nas.
Nah. He wouldn't have been out as heavy.
I don't think so. But
not as like so top like a shark.
He would have hit his stride faster because it would have forced him to compete harder.
No, I don't think so. Because the thing is that Jay was never even comparable.
He knows how
with
to feed
Pac.
Off of
other. You can never even compare them lyrically.
Biggie was Brooklyn.
I don't think he would ever hit a stride. I think if anything, I take back what I said. He would have flowed.
He'd be like Fabulous.
He'd still be very present, but he'd be like a Fab. Okay, there we go. Right. Somebody who's still in the game. Solid. He's still here.
He's consistent. You'd be like a Fabulous, a Jadakiss.
Yes.
You'd be like the ones that you have to respect.
Right.
But at the same time, like, just in a way, you know what I mean. Right,
I hear you. Like, guys have been, you know, that's a vibe in the game, you know, but they're not making billions on that.
Exactly. Like a Mob Deep.
Exactly. No, I hear what he's trying to say, though, because Mob is consistent. Mob is always going to have love.
But Tupac did call that shit.
What?
Yeah, he, I know. Mob Deep.
As far as what, though?
You remember Hit Him Up? Because don't one of y'all got sickle cell or some shit like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, but it was inevitable. It's a fact that people would say that. It's not like Pac was a prophet.
No, he wasn't a prophet.
There was a medical fact that he was going to die at some point.
I mean Pac did prophesy his own death, though.
Who, Pac?
Yeah.
Well, he knew that he was going to die because he wasn't really down with Suge. We all knew that. Like, Suge kind of like grabbed his ass up, was like, yo, like, You killing shit right now, so get on the set.
And I guess we kind of like going off the old AWOL and all kinds of things.
Bottom line is that album is not conscious.
Exactly. Oh my God.
Okay, that's the bottom line.
I actually just stop saying that. I found out that, I think it was Jasmine Guy.
Jasmine Guy?
Yeah, hit me out. Jasmine Guy, and I think Jada Pinkett, that had something to do with getting Pac out of jail. That wasn't Suge Knight at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, because I heard that Jada and Pac actually had a close relationship.
They was cool ever since they was in the open.
That's exactly what I heard, too.
Their relationship was out in the open.
No, it wasn't.
He was on a different world together and all that stuff.
Oh, Jasmine Guy. I'm talking about Jada Pinkett, because Jada had a relationship with him.
But did you hear about
too.
This? No, but
funny, not necessarily sexual. Talking about Tupac, close.
Right? I haven't seen the movie. Me neither. We'll get into that. I don't want to see another episode. I don't want to see
anything. Nothing about it.
I kind of don't want to. Seems messed up, and the money's not going to anywhere important.
Right. And actually, I heard the moms didn't even want it to go down.
You see what I'm saying? No, see, that's already in there.
They tried to interview you. She's like,
but the funny thing is, did you hear about the thing about this like three-page letter to Madonna from Tupac?
What?
Because he broke up with her. He was breaking up with her.
With Madonna. So he wrote her a three-page letter.
He wrote a three-page letter from the jail.
Oh, didn't they auction that shit off?
She was white.
That's a real dude right there. That's a real dude right there.
I can't be with you no more because you're white.
That's crazy.
Want to, like, even though I've met Madonna, like, once or twice, cause, like, from stage building and stuff like that, but I still would wish I could have a sit-down or, like, maybe just, like, date her once. Like, because I want to know what kind of mind
I think she has a person.
Honestly, I think she's a witch on the
because
low.
Because she dated...
There's something up with her.
Yeah, it's like, literally, she, like, she might be a practicing witch.
Tupac, Basquiat, and Prince.
She dated Prince?
Yeah.
Prince?
Back in the day.
And Dennis Rodman.
And Dennis Rodman, too.
So she dated some weird dudes and very, like, conscious dudes.
Right. She dated, like, that's the, all over the, like, spectrum. The spectrum of the mind.
The black mind.
Yeah, and then, like, we were, like, the black
that's
mind.
That's the most fascinating thing about
mind.
It.
Right. And it wasn't like mini spectrum. We're talking about, like, the extremes.
Yeah,
extreme. Like, I'm
telling you. I think she was a witch on the low. Like, she was
ridiculous.
Dead serious.
So, speaking of, like, you know, Jay-Z's album being considered conscious because of the mumble rap and so forth, just to throw it out here, because I thought this was hilarious.
What?
Don't know if many of you saw the BET Awards. I did not. Because I don't watch it.
I saw some of it.
I did see
a clip of
Joe Budden while he was interviewing me.
Yes. Well, he walked off and slapped the mic out the hand.
So he's interviewing Migos. He dropped the mic.
He got up and dropped it. I don't know. One of the three amigos was there at the corner. He had his mic like this. He got up and he smacked the mic out of his hand and kept it moving. And all three of them got up to, like, do something.
No, that's not what happened.
Nah.
Dude. He dropped his
mic. He said to himself, he was like, yo, wrap it up. Yeah. And then Academics was saying his stuff. And then he just got up, dropped the mic, and walked off.
No. Let's start from the beginning of that whole
interview. They were asking
interview,
dumb questions.
Where
one of them
Academics
off,
was asking stupid questions.
Takeoff was like, was mumbling.
And clearly none of them were interested in the conversation.
And he was fucking with him. And then, like, Joe was like, the only one sad to say with sense at the moment was like, this is stupid. He was like, he was losing brain cells and got tired.
Check when he decided to say, you know what? And said, you know, and then dropped the mic and left. it was after, and I thought this was so key because this said a lot about, I think, where Joe's mind was. So Joe says, he says, all right, man, we gotta wrap this up, right? As academics is still talking, because academics was like, he doesn't know what to do with a mic. He didn't make any sense about his questions. Dude, stupid questions. Stupid. He was like, oh, so you guys are brothers? So, I was like, he's like, oh, no, it's like, what are you talking about?
You got one job, bro.
I didn't even ask him a job. I was like, oh, did you feel bad when they left you off? Like, some stupid. And I think Quavo, or whatever his name is, was like, I'm here, right, at the war. So why would I feel bad? What are you talking? It was like, whatever. So then he started mumbling. And then academics is like, what? And then he's like, what? It looked like it was almost scripted because it was like, you gotta be shitting me.
This is a joke.
But here's where it gets great. Academics says, you guys are my favorite artists. Joe Button then says,
face goes, oh.
You know what? He gets up, boom, and walks off.
Oh, I didn't peep that.
That's when he leaves. It's after Academics says. And you can see that Academics is genuinely excited to be talking in whatever form talking is for them to Migos.
And
because he's like, oh, like you can see, like, you can't even sit still. He's
and
like,
in the entertainment interview world, it's already known that the Migos, they say, give horrible interviews.
Yeah.
Like, they
yeah, everybody
say
knows
that.
This. Yeah.
Right. So,
because they don't
he was
really
just,
know how
to he, talk. It, to me, it just seemed like he was done with the bullshit.
Yeah.
Like,
and the academic says, oh, you guys are my best artists, are my favorite artists. And when he says that, like,
so
Joe,
he walks
like,
off, Migos get all upset. They all stand
so,
up.
So one of them
stand,
like, stands up, like,
and then the other two stand up.
And then the other two stand up. And then, so then, and then some other dude comes off, like, off camera, comes out of nowhere. Who knows that nigga?
It was the entourage.
Some little dude shows up.
So they was all going to do something, and then somehow that leaked over to Chris Brown.
Well, yeah, that came a little later. Yeah, you ain't see that? They got into it with Chris Brown, too. And Chris Brown probably whooped all three of them.
No, yo, Chris Brown was just chilling because he was killing them. The whole video, there's like 30 dudes in each other's faces.
He's a little off, but I think
he's just chilling against his car. Watching this whole shit go down. Like,
so what happens?
Yeah, nobody really.
No, nobody really did anything.
Okay. Like,
they were trying.
Well,
to
clearly, they
him.
Were just like trying to get out.
Like, well, he's just there chilling, like.
Yeah, he's like, you know what I got in this trunk, right?
I was
you know,
I was waiting.
Crazy,
for,
right?
I was waiting for him to do that Morpheus come
like,
in shit.
Some type of martial arts.
Yeah,
I know. I think he does, but I'm just more concerned about people.
Wait. Who knows martial arts?
Chris Brown. Yeah, he knows. That was
Vietnamese. The art of like
slapping a hoe.
He learned that from Pit Bull.
He practiced slap a hoe on a regular basis.
Yo, he learned that from Pit Bull.
He's a black belt in slap a hoe.
He prayed the Prince Pair. Lord,
he's
take my hand and make it strong.
But but that had me dying, and I just I thought that Button standing at that very moment when Academics said that was like a resounding comment for everybody who's ever listened to Joe and for his age, because he's in his 40s right now,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
So he definitely grew up in like the 90s era,
right.
And he came up like under Jay and like under those times.
But look at
so,
the whole new XXL freshman cover.
Oh, that was horrible.
They have a new cover out now?
Oh, you didn't
I know it's like one
you
every
didn't,
year.
You didn't
right?
hear the cipher
after last year?
No. You talking about a new
year,
one?
I
haven't seen
exactly.
The new one.
It literally actually. Because
the last
me,
one
like,
I saw was the one that you mentioned.
Make it worse? And
the
only
guy
thing
with
that was
the
good was
like,
Anderson Paak and Little Dicky.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
The best one was Anderson Paak and Little Dicky.
Yeah,
which is sad.
Those two.
Because Little Dicky's like. He just does it for fun. He's not like serious with it.
My boy, fucking Jordan Lucas, still not in it. Tight.
I've heard of Jordan Lucas actually.
That's,
yeah,
the one,
yeah.
That's the one who spit backwards. Three.
I heard of him.
And
I haven't heard his
Ross
stuff. Him. Yeah, I heard he's actually pretty dope.
Fire.
I've never heard of him.
He's fire.
I'm like totally disgusted.
But I mean,
but
it's, called,
this one
it's
is
main.
Literally
it's main.
Worse. The only
main
one
stream, right?
I think the only one who's on it. That's
who?
Holy shit!
Is all mumble people, right?
I haven't heard. Oh, anime. That's it.
Oh, anime.
He's
nice. He's alright.
Oh, Amity.
I like him. He's
yeah,
okay.
He's nice. I just like that Caroline
he's different.
Song.
I mean,
yeah,
that's what I appreciate
different.
About him is that he brings a different thing to the game.
Exactly.
It's not mumble rap. I can understand what he's actually saying. He's being creative with his lyrics. You know, he's talking about something that doesn't involve like stacks and strippers and stuff.
And skirt.
And skirt.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing I can say that's good about the Migos, that thing that I like, is the fact that their ad-libs shows their dedication to their family, because he's always talking about mama. He loves his mama to death, and yeah, that's about it.
I mean, well, they're all family. they're one huge
but
family, so
that's
it makes
what I'm
sense.
Talking about. So yeah, at least they can.
And
keep
that's
in,
something else that I give a lot of credit to. I mean, I don't really appreciate them overall as a group,
right.
But I do it. But I do appreciate the fact that that they like operate together.
Yeah, they move as a unit. And academics did make that point.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, is not seen often within music. You know, there's a lot of separation, a lot of isolation. But these guys seem to be like, you know, we all make money, and I can appreciate that. But yeah, I thought that was a hilarious interview.
Yo, Joe Budden's face.
I love Joe,
his
man.
His facial expressions.
Joe Budden is hands down one of my favorite artists. And just as a person, because he's so bizarre.
That made me subscribe to his podcast. Like
him doing that made you like, I gotta listen to what this dude is saying. Because for him to do this on television, like,
he has a podcast
and don't care.
Yeah. Yes.
Daily Struggle is the name of it.
Daily Struggle.
Yeah, that's a real name for a podcast, yo. that's for real. So last point, because as I promised, I wanted to be a little light show. I will be traveling as of next week, heading to London. I will be and hopefully be a nigga in Paris, because I do want to stop by Paris and pay Paris a visit. No, I shouldn't pay Paris a visit.
Oh no!
Oh, okay. It's the reference to the nigga in Paris. Yeah. but I'm looking forward to the trip, and it's made me think more about people traveling, and it's a and. The fascinating thing is that a lot of minorities don't leave the country very often. It's their idea of traveling or leaving the country is usually going to like Puerto Rico, going to Dominican Mexico. Republic,
yeah, going to
Cancun, to Mexico, or going to some type Florida. Of island. Yeah. But it's never like really
abroad,
you know.
Across the oceans.
So that's something that I'm looking forward to. I hope I come back with some great stories for
you
guys.
If you are gonna go across the oceans, you should go to the first spot you should go to.
I'm not going to the Middle East. That's okay.
I mean, obviously not the hostile places, but I'm saying, like...
I mean, you know.
Like, you know, like, you know, we're, like, you know, brown people.
Right. I mean, there's brown people everywhere.
Well, yeah, of course, there's
everywhere. We are everywhere, so...
I mean, one of the colonized places. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
so, I mean... And I guess our last point, since we're about to close out, as this is more of an introductory show to say hello and welcome back, let's briefly talk about something heavy.
Oh, yeah.
The Philando Castile verdict.
America, you let that happen again. It was like a year-long
case, correct? No,
it wasn't short.
It was short, like 6 months or so, right?
Right.
And the police officer, and I have to give props to... who mentioned this? I think it might have been Dr. Umar Johnson. I think it was him who mentioned this about how the most telling part of this is not the fact that the police officer got off, because we kind of
knew that was
going to happen. And Ash, you know, don't feel uncomfortable by this comment, but the cop who did it was a Latin American. And him getting off, from what Dr. Umar Johnson kind of referenced, is a symbol to every other culture that it's okay to do this.
To kill black folks.
No. Yeah. No.
Why would I feel
like
way about that?
Nah.
I don't know. I mean, because you're
I will say this, though. The Spanish population that's flooding into this country is definitely here to...
First of all, it's not Spanish.
Latin American. But that Latin American population coming out...
Here's the thing.
It's definitely going to push up the black population besides, in terms of jobs and all that, and political power and all that. All right,
Trump Jr. All right,
they already are, actually. We don't have any political power.
It's done.
Listen, the fact of the matter is, the second most killed demographic
is
Latinos.
Okay, yeah, we know that.
For me, it wasn't the fact that he was Latino and got away with it. It was the fact that he was a cop.
Right.
That's what covered him. Not the fact that he was a light-skinned.
Exactly.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with what covered him, because what covered him was him being a police officer. The point that's being made, particularly in this video, because the video is just so gruesome to watch that any juror should be able to watch it and be like, you're guilty.
No, the shit that's...
I'm sorry. Hang on. The point that's being made that I was trying to make is that throughout the video, when he's talking on the radio and he's telling why he's stopping this person because of his wide nose, the fact that he gets out the car and he's already jittery because his hands are already around his gun from the beginning of his stop, what Dr. Umar, I believe, was trying to say was that the fact that this gentleman already came on the scene with a racial mind towards African Americans and gets off like all the other police officers, and not to mention not just police officers, but any light person or person not of color who shoots a black person, because we talk about Zimmerman, who was not a cop and got off, and we could probably go down a list of a few other people who actually. Also the guy who shot the black guy because he claimed that the black guy was attacking him. The road rage got white guy got him, popped him, and then walked right back to his car. And witnesses were like, "That's not what happened." I don't even know what his case is, but the fact that he sat down on the ground with no cuffs for like a minute and clearly had a gun.
Exactly.
Nobody even cuffed him. He was allowed to just kind of be chill for a bit. But on our regular basis, we get cuffed and thrown around like nothing.
Yeah, didn't he turn himself in and then he left?
Yeah. And not even on the same day. Homeboy, I think the next day, turned himself. Like, something crazy happened. No, he went down to the precinct and then was able to go home, like, right after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something crazy like that. So, I think what Umar was trying to say is that it sends a message that it's okay to do these things. And, you know, as long as it's an African American or some, you know, a black person who's perceived to be a black person, even suffering in the end result, then
okay. Last week, didn't like two different instances of white cops shooting black cops who were off duty.
Yeah,
from the same precinct.
From the same precinct. which is insane, because don't you guys know each other? Don't you see each other? Don't you get coffee at some point?
They're all the same.
And then at some point, I'm thinking that black cops who were shot off duty clearly had stated, "I'm a police officer."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thinking, this is going to protect me.
My thing is,
and then it's still pop.
Like, what do you do when you are now, you know, like, rehabilitated after your gunshot wound, and then you go back into work? You
go back to the precinct that just shot you. You can't work there anymore.
How do you get there? There's no way.
Imagine the games.
But hold on, the black cop that got shot by the cop, because it was a situation where it was a cop sitting in his house off. He heard something happen outside his house. He went outside, and that's when he was shot by the cop from his precinct.
Okay.
Didn't that cop die?
The black cop who was shot? I'm not sure.
I think he died. Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't even listen to the interview.
That's an interesting case to see if that's then...
Back to Castro.
A verdict of guilty.
Castro, Castile.
Back to Castile.
Philando Castile.
Thing is, the thing that's really messed up that got me was the fact that after everything was done, after they got off, the precinct decides to release the dash cam video.
Yeah, after the fact.
Which is the most heart-wrenching thing I've seen. And the funny thing is, and another thing that I don't think anybody really noticed is that you notice that when it comes down to like police shootings or when it comes down to a black person getting shot by the cops or some shit like that, they have no problem replaying it. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to a white person or a cop getting shot and it's caught on camera, they won't play that.
Well, they won't play it as much.
Well, they just simply won't play it because it's too graphic. They'll cut it off before it gets really gritty.
Here's my problem with the dash cam footage, and I think you'll feel the same way about this.
Okay.
He approached the driver's side of the car.
Yes.
Fernando Castillo was sitting on the passenger side of the car.
I've heard nobody make this shot.
The officer that was next to the passenger side, his hand was nowhere near his side.
Never. Right. He was calm the whole time.
When Fernando Castillo said, "I'm going to reach for my ID," he would be the one to see if he was reaching for a weapon.
That's right.
He would have shot.
He didn't come up. He wasn't that close to the car yet.
Doesn't matter. No, he still had the point of view. The cop was there.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The fact that no one pointed out, listen, he never pulled his sidearm. He never reacted any...
Yeah, right. He was calm the whole time.
He reacted to the other cop shooting in the car and got out the way.
Yeah, basically. Wow. Yeah, it's basically.
Honestly, other than myself, he's the only other person I've heard even make that argument. No, nobody.
That pissed me off so much. I was like, "Yo, how does he get off on this?"
Yeah. Right? Because it's so
clear. Did the jurors not see this video?
He endangered so many people.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He should have shot the woman, the child, and the man, and the other cop.
Yeah.
Not only that.
Exactly.
Yeah, not only that, but after they shot him,
disgusting,
and then they handcuffed her.
You realize that they
in the same car.
No. bro, the thing that got me totally right. really disturbed was the fact that he shot Daddy.
Even though she's distraught, clearly, because you just.
But then the fact that the cop opens the door, and then you realize the child was.
Yeah, he grabs the kid.
Yeah.
Right behind him.
Right.
When you when he shot her.
If those wasn't hollow point bullets, she would have caught one.
Yeah, it would have gone.
Or when he was shooting, he could have missed.
He could have just missed.
And something could have ricocheted off.
No, he obviously missed because he shot seven times and he hit him five.
Which is an indicator that he didn't miss.
Two bullets, but he missed two.
Yeah, and one of those could have hit her.
And then the cop walks her
and he still gets off.
And the cop is... I mean, and the thing is, the little girl is... She's in shock.
Yeah.
You don't hear any...
She's never been around this before, obviously. But this is shocking to her.
You got to think about the psychological damage that has done, not to mention that the children who sit at home watching this shit now realizing
it's crazy,
you know.
And then
at the same time, you find out on the news that the police department or that the city reimburse or donates or gives some
person. Oh yeah,
they
person, paid the family off.
Paid a family, a white family, like $1 million or some shit like that for their dog that they shot.
Yeah.
So now.
Yeah. And they get they now, tried to give them the same settlement. It's like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah. So
how are you trying to pay off?
A human and then my life. Thing yeah, is, why did they pay a settlement a if he's innocent?
Yeah.
Why did
they
pay a settlement
God,
if he's innocent? Because
they know that he's not.
They'll try to save anything in this world but a black person. I swear.
And in that instance, let you know that they were less than
that
a dog.
That means kids right now know that a dog is worth more than
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Yeah, basically.
You steal three sis.
It was upsetting. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Less than that?
I'm not going to lie. It angered me watching that dash.
I hope that dash cam footage, I hope that little girl watching that little girl get out that car haunts the jury and the cops for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Because I don't see how a jury... Mm-hmm. could have let him walk on that.
Yeah.
There's not enough evidence for me to believe that you were so afraid that you let off.
Because
when your partner
matter.
On the side of the such threat was completely calm. What did you fucking see that he didn't?
Right.
that you felt the need to let off.
It doesn't matter. Such, you
and
have
then,
so much other stuff.
And then another
he
key
has a
point.
Gun. Just the fact that it's a black man with a gun, he was like, well, he probably
then
has
quickly,
to get put down.
Quickly, before
he
we wrap
license?
Up. Another quick point is that even the whole time that Philando kept trying to talk to him, to tell him what he was about to do.
The
cop
really
kept cutting him off. The one who shot him was the one I was like, what are you doing? He was like, I'm trying to be, no! Stop. What are you doing? Like, he kept trying to tell him, hey,
kind of sort of like
I'm reaching for this because
right.
you asked me to get my ID, and my ID
my
is where the gun is.
Head.
And he was trying to tell him that, but as he's telling him this, the cop already has his gun. I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's not even letting him finish his sentence. That's how overly afraid and stressed this cop was. This cop should, one, not have been a cop, clearly.
And that
that's very clear. Two, he was racist. He was stopping him basing upon the fact that his freaking nose was wide. Every time I think about this, and mind you, they say that there was no other type of description that Philando matched for the person that they were
other
looking
than
for.
His nose.
Than his nose being wide, which I'm trying to be like, how did you see it? Like, did you
how
look
you
in the passenger yeah, side
driving
you driving? But, like, what the hell?
Back?
Like, we were like staring into the passenger, just like, you see the width of his nose. It's like, that just sounds insane to me. But then it also makes me nervous because what did he tell them when he walked up to the car? I'm stopping you because your taillight is out.
Not because your nose
not,
is wide.
Not because there was a robbery, blah, blah, blah. But because
right.
your taillight is
your
out. So you walk up with a lie.
Yeah.
But you're now super nervous because you think that you're stopping a freaking robber based on the part on the
no,
width
see,
of a person's
this,
nose.
This
is insane to me.
This just reiterates the point that a lot of people have been making lately. Is like, how do you expect, how is it okay for your trained officer to be nervous with a gun,
mm-hmm.
but you expect the person he's stopping
to
be calm when
sure.
faced with
yes.
a gun.
Right.
Most
yes.
officers haven't had
yes.
a gun in their face.
That's a great, great point, Ash. And that's not just for that cop. I think that's
for
just cops everywhere because
right.
the gun is, it's a life taker, man.
Officer,
like, and you're shaking?
Most officers
especially
in
the,
so
in the current climate now.
That's right.
You're going to have
that's right.
black men and women. You're going to have
without
brown men and women. You're going to have anyone of color.
Afraid.
Just off the bat, you see a cop, it's either I'm going to run, Yeah. Or I'm, they coming with me.
Because you're going to shoot regardless. That's the mentality now. It's clear that you're going to shoot us regardless. No matter what we do, we follow the law, you're going to shoot us. We lie down on the pavement like that gentleman who was a counselor trying to get the cops to not shoot this mentally disturbed patient of his. And he's like, I don't have a gun. My hands are up. And you shoot us anyways. I mean, let's be real. That's what it's telling us, is that if you're a person of color, black or brown, and a man, you will get shot. Yeah. But if you're a crazy white boy that runs up in a theater and sprays it up, we're not going to shoot you. We're going to stop you and catch
you down
the right way. Mm-hmm. We're going to take our time.
We're going to give you a hug.
Like, he went into
let you know you're in a safe space. Let's not
forget that there's a list, even with the guy who shoots up the church. Like, it's just
they took him to Burger King or Taco Bell or some shit.
Burger King. Yeah, they took him to Burger King. Are you hungry, bro?
Come on, man. Let's go feed you. Like, are you kidding me? You just shut up a guy. I've never heard of the cops taking anybody to go get food after they.
That's all I can imagine. How the cops like how to
let's go.
Let's
go to Canada. You get some food. I got you.
It's open season, man.
I'm telling you. So I mean. We said that we're going to keep it short.
He must have worked up an appetite. You want some extra fries with that?
We said we're going to keep it short.
What Dave Chappelle say? I heard that they're shooting black people like hotcakes. Story at 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
God,
I mean, seriously, man. This is what's happening. But you know what, folks?
This is not laughter this is not laughter because it's funny. This is laughter because it's really
you either laugh or you cry.
Yeah.
Because it's getting ridiculous now. And honestly, it's going to get worse.
So, we're going to wrap up because this is an introductory show and just glad to be back on. Hopefully we'll be back soon enough with you guys. I intend to come back with some tales from across the waters from London
and some keto news
and some Cheeto news. Cheeto, I'm sure I will hear tons of it in my absence. So keto hopefully you guys are enjoying your weekend. It's a very late hot Saturday here, and I think great. Ash is like biting his tongue over here because he has something he wants to say, but
just with the events of recently, I just, you know, make sure everybody, you know, you dudes out there don't get Rob Kardashian. And,
he's fucked now.
But I mean, but like, yeah. But like, also, you can also look at it as like, you know, China is a revolutionist. You know what I'm saying?
Revolutionary.
Because the Kardashians.
So are we going into another topic right now? Because that's what it sounds like you about to do.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead and share the thought. I'm just figuring out if that's where it's going.
I already know where he's going. He's about to say
she's bringing down the empire.
No. She's doing what white women do to black men all the time. They get with them and eventually take their dough.
And then bounce. Yeah, and then play them after all that on top of it.
Exactly.
You know that they're suing him now for revenge porn.
No, it's fine because she.
Revenge porn. I didn't want to. All right.
She tried to buy jewelry.
What? Revenge porn. So in California, there is a legal statute. No.
You can't release anything. Porn
anything
consent.
That you do, uh-huh. That if you release any nude or something photo of the other person without their consent, it's considered revenge porn.
So he released a video of him and her having sex.
Of her. No, not sex. Oh, just pictures. Naked pictures. Yeah. Of her.
Okay.
He publicized it on Instagram.
So he did that to get back.
And so she about to get more dough.
Yep.
What a time to be alive.
Now, what I was biting my tongue on was 18 states have brought a lawsuit against Betsy Davis.
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
Finally. Okay, so what's the lawsuit entail?
It's about borrowing the money for, what was it? Was it?
No, it was she's misappropriating the funds that are earmarked to public schools.
Yeah.
For private schools.
Really?
But we already knew this, because remember she borrowed.
Well, she made it clear that she didn't want public schools. She made that very, very clear.
Right. But $17 billion.
Real quick, though. But how they always talk about like minorities is using up the welfare system and all that,
and they arrested all those white people.
Lakewood, where I used to stay at in Jersey.
Okay, in Jersey.
Yo, they running in their houses. They $8 million in fraud and still counting.
Oh, I saw that. Yes. Yo, they've been like, on they arrested like 12
on the
people.
Jews.
Yeah. So it's a Jewish community?
Yes.
$8 million?
Yes. $8 million.
And it's still rising.
Number, yes.
Oh, yeah. They arrested like 9 to 12 people in the first one, and they're like, there are more arrests coming.
Yes.
$8 million.
Yes. Yes. Fraud? I stood up. I was clapping.
Welfare fraud.
So that's where the money's going. Look at that. Look and at that. Mention the exhibit in the Breuer.
Oh, yes. Please come see Arthur at the Breuer, Met Breuer on 75th and Madison. It's really dope. It's a video called Love is the Message of Death. It's backed with Ultralight Beam, the song by Kanye, if you don't know.
Featuring Kirk Franklin.
Featuring Kirk Franklin. Hey, Chance the Rapper.
Sing it.
In the dream.
GP, are you with me?
So we're going out to you.
Hell yeah. We ain't going nowhere. GP, are you with me?
Got a bunch of Kirk Franklin haters.
You
got
the, you know, we're nowhere.
You know, it's a good album. Wasn't he in the news recently for knocking somebody out who said something stupid to his wife?
He was cool.
He seems like a nice. He's weird. And it's I definitely encourage
final plugs, people.
If you got little, if you black and brown, go see it. If you got little black and brown children, take them to go see it. If you white, you should definitely go see it.
And if you dating someone maybe, black and brown,
maybe,
go see
maybe,
it.
Maybe yes, it'll wake you up.
That's important.
Maybe feed you some empathy.
Maybe feed you some empathy. Maybe let you know or realize what's going on. It's, in a way, it's kind of like a full caps of 2000. It feels like a caps of 2016 in a way. But in a nutshell, it's just the triumph and how beautiful black people are and how we took our lemons and what we made with it.
Like lemon meringue pie.
Sour ass iced tea.
And some sour ass sugary iced tea. No, but it's better than that. It's just deep.
I was waiting
it's
for you beautiful.
Yeah, I was like,
it's
amazing. So check it out.
Some transmutation out.
Matt Breuer.
Alright, so check that out. And next show, we're gonna make the main topic interracial dating.
Swirling.
I put it on my Instagram.
Swirling. Spelunking.
I put it on my Instagram. Luke.dreams.
Crazy terms.
Follow me and I'll put it up. A little snippet. A little sneak peek of the video that I want everybody to see.
All right. So, with that said,
for my plug, I finally have a plug.
Woo!
Yeah!
What's your plug? Apps.
So, I got my own Instagram page, people. Taking pictures and shit. It's all beautiful. Brown Casserano, follow me.
Okay.
Brown Casserano?
Brown Casserano.
Didn't you already have an Instagram?
There's another one.
He just discovered it.
You just discovered that you could do Instagram?
Yes. I was like, I could do two.
So, with that
multiples,
said,
yeah.
It was like, we're going to head out. You guys have a great one. You be well and stay cool out there.
See, the names have all changed since I've been around. But the game ain't the same since I left out.